time on episode 271 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We talk Runaways Season 1, Episode 2, Rewind. We talk weekly Marvel news, and we talk your feedback.
I'm Anthony Bachman from All Things Good and Nerdy, a geeky podcast part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other fantastic geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, February 24th, 2019. Happy birthday to my sister. Live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Come on and join our live chat as we record. Ladies, happy National Tortilla Chip Day.
Woohoo!
Gotta have salsa.
Can I celebrate with guac?
You can celebrate with guac, you can celebrate with bean dip, you can celebrate with queso.
Salsa.
Oh, yeah, salsa best.
I did buy some salsa this week, and we had guac for lunch.
I almost had nachos, but decided to have a hot dog instead at the movies.
So question, since this was recently a conversation on another podcast I listened to, do you use ketchup on your hot dog?
I don't personally.
I do.
You would not be allowed to have a hot dog in Chicago, Haley.
Well, they put a bunch of other stuff on it, too, don't they? Like onions and stuff?
They put absolutely everything else except for ketchup on the
hot
dog.
Yeah, there's a slice of big old thing of pickle. I used to live in Chicago, so there's the whole thing of pickle, and then there's actual tomato, and it's just like everything but. And eventually, you get to the actual hot dog.
Yeah, the Texas-style hot dog is chili, cheese, onion, sometimes jalapeno.
Not all the time jalapeno. I would imagine in Texas, you would always want the hot dog hotter.
Technically, it should have the jalapeno, but I don't like pickled jalapeno. I like fresh jalapeno.
No, a jalapeno snob. I see.
Yeah. Well, there's this thing in Laredo called the Jalapeno Festival. And one of the things in there is the jalapeno eating contest. So people will eat this from this big old can of pickled jalapenos. And once you have smelled someone puke pickled jalapenos, you do not want pickled jalapenos ever again.
Gross.
So you still like them, though?
I would eat them. They weren't a particular favorite, but I would eat them. And now it's just every time I smell them, I'm back on that fairground.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, everybody, when we're done with this podcast, you can go and have a tortilla chip because this is National Tortilla Chip Day. Brought to you by the makers, probably, of tortilla chips. In the meantime, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now in the 40th hiatus week following the season 5 finale. We've broken the 40 mark here. The multiple Marvel Netflix series that are now all canceled and the Marvel cinematic and comic book universes in general.
Because of leftover homemade brie.
If you would like to talk to us about leftover homemade brie, you can find us on our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can call and leave us a voicemail about your leftover homemade brie at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can find us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can tell us whether or not tortilla chips are an acceptable way to eat leftover brie at Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can watch all of us eat our leftover homemade brie on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/gunnageek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
You can join our Discord server chat at gunnageek.com/discord.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Guys, did you know that you can actually trace the tortilla chip back to one single person?
Nope.
Rebecca Webb Carranza in the 1940s. Thank you, Rebecca Webb Carranza.
things we should have learned during National Women's History Month.
But we learn them today on National Tortilla Chip Day.
This week, we watched Runaways, Season 1, Episode 2, Rewind. And this aired on Hulu on November 21st, 2017. Lauren, who directed this episode?
This episode was directed by Roxanne Dawson, who has 54 directing credits starting in 1999. Going back to Star Trek Voyager, which I still haven't seen.
Really?
Yeah, I need to. I've been watching the original TOS.
Yeah.
They've been showing it on TV lately.
Yeah.
Anyway, three episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Who You Really Are, Ragtag, I Spy, one episode of Caprica, three of Heroes, 10 of Star Trek Enterprise, a whole lot of stuff.
Two episodes of The Americans. That is some cred right there.
Such a good show. Blood In, Blood Out, but uncredited. Blood In, Blood Out was a very formative movie for me as a kid and really shouldn't have been because I was way too young to watch it. But it was like every little, you know, Mexican kid my age kind of snuck to watch it at that point because it was like one of three movies that we had.
I'm getting the sense that everything that you weren't supposed to do as a child, Lauren did.
I mean, kind of.
We'll have to discuss that further in a therapy session.
I'm sorry. She was an actress in Blood In, Blood Out, not director.
Okay. Michelle, who wrote this episode of Rewind?
This was written by the creative team, Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage. They both have worked on The OC, Gossip Girl, Runaways, which they created, and Dynasty. And Runaways is based on the Marvel comics by Brian K. Vaughan and Adrian Alfona.
This episode title is Rewind. The first one was called Reunion. The second one is Rewind. It's basically the same episode, except from a different point of view, which is really fun, in my opinion. I really enjoyed it. But since the title is Rewind, and it used to be Reunion, Haley, what do you got for me with the title of Rewind?
Well, like you said, the first episode we kind of see from the viewpoint of the kids, and we end with that reunion. The second episode, we go back and see a lot of those same events, but mostly from the viewpoint of the parents. So we rewind to go back to the same starting point and then carry forward to a little past that in this story.
Hmm. Do we carry a box along the way?
What box? What's in the box?
What's in the box?
We'll have to talk about in the future. Okay. Pride. It's the essence of these parents getting together. Pride. I'm not quite sure what Pride is. Is Pride in the comics at all? Or is this
made? Yes, it is.
Okay. So tell me about Pride, Lauren.
In the comics, it is the name given to the group of parents, and it's the organization that they meet up every year. It's supposed to be like this humanitarian group. And that's really all that we know about it from the comics. Here, it's essentially the same thing.
Okay. So we have this group called the Pride. Michelle, what is the Pride up to?
Well, in public, they are giving and they're building the school in a impoverished neighborhood. And aren't they so wonderful? But actually, they're getting together and they're deciding on if they should stick a 17-year-old girl in the pod. And they decide to, and they all get naked and they put on their red robes. And they basically drug the girl and shove her into a pod that we learn really doesn't work because Victor just doesn't have it together. So on the surface, Pride seems to be wonderful, just like the church seems to be wonderful, but they're actually not.
By the way, I love when you see the close-up of the Pride, you know, when they're building the thing, you know, brought to you by, and it's all their organizations. I love so much that the Minoru one is called Wizard, and it has the Staff of One logo, because they're magic users! Ha! It made me so happy.
I particularly liked how the parents reacted to the Flash after, you know, the thing happened with Destiny, because they didn't act competent at all. Like, oh, no, maybe somebody was watching us. And there's no security system for them to go back and review the tapes or anything. I'm sensing a little bit of incompetence here on their part.
it's kind of hinted at here that, I mean, for all that they're like, okay, this is the last one, this is the last one, it's also at the same time kind of hinted at that they don't do this that often, that this is maybe the first time they're doing it this particular way. But at the same time, you don't build a whole separate little sacrifice chamber if you're only going to do something once. Whereas in the comic, we find out that this whole human sacrifice ritual, which is a lot more human sacrifice-y in the comic, like they have a dagger and everything, they do this the same day every year.
It gave me the heebie-jeebies, the way they treated it and everything. And I got the sense they were going to use her life force to increase the life force of whoever's in the other pod in the church, which I'm assuming is the dad, but I don't know who it actually is at this point. Neither do so if you don't know any of the comics, you have no idea who any of these people are. So we're just going to take it like that. Like, you don't have comic background.
Oh, the guy in the pod, in the other pod, he's not in the comics at all. Not as far as I know.
Okay. So
yeah, he's not in the comics at all.
All right. So anyway, that's what I was assuming, was life force into the guy, and the guy would be able to get the life force and move on. It didn't work. She's alive and kicking and everything, but it was just really creepy. They drug her. They put her in there and they say, oh, it's going to be okay. He says he's sorry. She put her finger on his ring, getting like an indenture on her finger or something. I assume that's why they brought attention to that. And so I thought the body would be found later and they would do some forensics, but no, she's alive.
And also in the super large trunk of Stein's car now, I think is what we're led to believe.
Okay, so ties to the comics that I want to point out, things that are similar, things that are different. The leapfrog in the comics is an actual giant vehicle shaped like a frog instead of the name for the big, you know, whatever luxury SUV thing that Victor Stein has designed.
Nemo.
Yeah, the company Nemo. Also, Carolina's father is a full-fledged member of the Pride in the comics. Both in the comics, both Leslie Dean and I forget his name, Frank? Dean, are both actors, and they are both full-fledged members of the Pride. Geez, what else am I thinking of? Destiny, much briefer role in the comic. Like, 3 pages and she's dead. And
she didn't have all that much time.
Yeah, the whole scramble playing Twister thing is pretty much exactly like it was in the comic, so that pleased me.
Things are about to get freaky.
Which is, I think, a line exactly from the comic.
The kids are really quickly thinking of ways that they can get out of this, and because their parents are not all that competent, they get away with it, where after the whole thing is said and done, after the spark, like minutes later, I'm thinking like 5 minutes or so by the time they get out and everything, Alex shuts off all of the circuits and they're just buying it. The parents are just buying it like, oh, we must have blown something. But the pod wasn't actually plugged into anything. So yeah, I agree with Monero. He's like, what's going on here?
You can like blow the breakers in your apartment because you're running a blender and a hairdryer at the same time. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything they were doing down in the basement. It could be some other power surge up at the house.
Yeah, let's face it, American infrastructure isn't great.
Parents bought it.
I think also, okay, so these people, especially Leslie Dean, are very conflicted about what they're doing, especially when she's begging them. You see a lot of, oh my God, I don't want to be doing this on their faces, but at the same time, they're going through with it because they're terrible people. I feel like they are all at the same time very distracted. So they're not giving everything their full attention.
That would make sense because they all are. They've all got different things going on. You've got the church, you've got the real estate, you've got court going on.
Speaking of which, can we go by parent by parent?
Yeah, we will. I was getting
okay.
There.
Okay. Yeah. I just have a lot of work.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You got dinosaurs in the basement and everything. So yeah, I can see them all. And then an affair is in there too, which is probably important. So Michelle, I'm going to leave it to you. Which parent do you want to start with?
I want to start with Frank and Leslie Dean. Frank's agent comes along and says, yeah, you're not really getting work and you're no longer the it guy. You are that guy from that church and no one really wants to work with that guy from that church.
Tom Cruise.
And this is actually important. When I watch this again, I always wondered what started Frank along this path. And then when I watched it again, I realized the agent is the one that is like, you're the face of it. What do you mean you're not getting all this money? How come you don't have the piece of the pie? Why aren't you the one in charge? How come this is all Leslie's? And then him going around and snooping and trying to get into her, quote, private meditation chamber. And Vaughn, I know Vaughn was in here for like 2 seconds, but Vaughn is actually an important character. I know it's very supporting. You won't see him episodes on end, but keep your eye on Vaughn.
He's named after the creator, so.
And so it's interesting when you see him with Leslie. First off, you know, Frank's not a member of Pride. He's like, oh, it's a Pride meeting. Can I go? And she's just like, no. And he tries to meditate with her and she's just like, no. And he wants to go ultra. And she's just like, well, that's nice, but no. Their dynamic really drives not only this season, but also next season. The Deans are very fascinating.
I look forward to seeing more of them in the future. Now, Haley, you have to have a favorite parent to discuss here.
The Steins, obviously in a very rocky marriage right now. A father who is clearly abusive and a mother who is kind of facilitating that abuse to a certain degree to kind of protect the life they've built and protect the secret criminal organization that they're in together.
I keep on seeing Victor Stein and my mind goes to Legends of Tomorrow, but I realize it's not only a different character, but we're talking about two different universes here, DC Comics and Marvel Comics. But yeah, Victor Stein, by the way, did he get Tony Stark's, you know, garage workshop on sale somewhere?
They're reusing old sets, I guess.
They're on a TV budget, not a movie budget.
I see.
Yeah, either that or, like, I don't know, maybe there's kind of a jerk-ass genius scientist kit, like starter kit.
Oh, yeah. And you just go to Amazon and order it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, here's your lab. Okay.
Well, Janet's the one who's having the affair, or at least the perception of an affair right now, anyway.
Right.
And we don't know who it's with at this point, either. But it's somebody that was at the meeting. At least that's what we're led to infer. So we have one person that is scot-free so far on it because he was not invited and we're talking about Frank Dean. So it's got to be somebody that's not Frank Dean. Could be anybody else. I'm not discriminating in terms of gender or anything. It was somebody that was in that room. I'm going to be keeping an eye on that because I feel like that's just an important piece. It feels like it's going to mean something in the future. Otherwise, they just wouldn't have brought it up. All right, Lauren, you're up.
Okay, my absolute favorite of all these couples are the Yorkses because they're weird science weirdos. These two genuinely seem like they're in love. They get along very well. They're always talking. They're always very supportive. No, he likes her homemade brie.
Also, they're very different than the other parents, it seems.
Oh, yeah, they're so like hippie and everyone else is just so uptight. And then you have these rich weirdos. I don't know if any of you watch Grace and Frankie, but they are essentially the Frankies. They're the rich hippies.
I remember the first time watching this, wondering how that couple ended up in this group with everybody else.
Haley, have you seen this whole series yet?
The first season I've seen. I haven't seen the second yet.
I have not. I'm the oddball here. I'm only seeing what we've watched so far. Lauren's seen the first 3 episodes, she said.
Yeah, but I've also read the comics, okay. So.
Yeah, so y'all have an advantage on me there. So the other parents are the Wilders, and let me just say, Alex Wilder, every time I hear that name, I was like, why does that name sound so familiar? Because I'm not reading the comics, or at least not yet, and like, why is that? Why? Oh, Alex Wildstar from Star Blazers, not Wilder. Okay, so that is why I thought That's
a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, indeed. And if you're curious about that, go watch Star Blazers and you'll find out all about Alex Wildstar. He's like the star of the show. Well, Catherine and Jeffrey, it's an interesting couple. So she's some kind of lawyer who met him while he was in jail, probably from his hood. Well, he was running the gangs, apparently, in the LA area, and got caught and was in jail. And then she met him from there and I guess got him out of his life of crime or something like that. But his life of crime is still coming back to him because his protege, who's now the new boss of LA, Darius decides to try to make a power play and make it seem like he's not doing something that we've seen recently in The Punisher, and that is making a big play just to clone your phone. So, you know, I have to give it to Darius. He was on his game. He didn't realize what was happening until it was all over.
Yeah, Darius is somebody you also need to keep a watch on. And it's also not just like his protege. They were, you find out more, it was more of a, this is like a betrayal situation. Darius feels betrayed by Jeffrey. That'll be explored more, but that's where that's really coming from. And so for Jeffrey to threaten Darius's family, because they were so close, that's almost like threatening Jeffrey's own family in a way. That was cold.
That was very cold when Jeffrey, I assume there was some cash in the case, but oh no, it was a picture of grandma's house. Cold. Very cold.
Yep. I mean, okay, so there's common criminals. There's street criminals. There's the people who you owe money, they beat you up. And then there's white collar criminals. You have upped your game. You have more resources to work with. It's a whole different class of dangerous. This is why, again, sociopaths and psychopaths are drawn to places of power because you have all the resources and you can have all the power. And if you have the stomach for it, you do horrible things to keep it. I don't think that Jeffrey is a sociopath, but I definitely think that between that and between the fact that we've seen him participating in a human sacrifice now, all of these people that we have met, all of these parents are ruthless. Even if they show some conscience, they are ruthless.
Are you counting Frank Dean in that ruthlessness?
I haven't seen him be ruthless yet on the show, but he does have ambition. And people with ambition do tend to have a ruthless streak.
Don't you like his agent, by the way?
Okay, I can't see him without thinking of 10 Things I Hate About You in The Princess Diaries. The whole, I look like a moose, but a very sexy moose. Make all the boy moose go, wah!
Yeah. He's popped up a lot. So I saw him and I knew it was going to give me a chuckle when he was on the screen. So that was fun seeing him. So the kids, they come out of this because we don't get a one for one for last week. We get a short intro and then kind of a rewind. And then we get this, I don't know, 10-minute outro, which is the kids dealing with the after effects of everything that's happened. And they're bonded together because they have no one else to share this with, first of all. And second of all, because they've been together before. So this is the odd thing that's pulled them together. I can't wait until next episode to see what happens at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, shared trauma makes you close.
And another thing that is come to my attention is the fact that Gert is singing to the dinosaur. So I think maybe this is going to mean something later on.
Yep. Well, she's singing for Molly because Molly is upset. Her singing travels down to the dinosaur and the dinosaur likes it.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Do you think that the parents have fixed the doors in the basement that Molly
I don't
totally
think any
destroyed?
Of these parents are capable of creating a functioning door that locks. It's like a huge blind spot in all of their educations.
Well, Molly had to use their powers to get out, so that was pretty cool. And apparently using her powers gets her tired, which is why she was taken asleep. I think that was the inference there.
Makes a lot of physical sense, because if you burn all the... Okay, so you use a tremendous amount of force. You are using pretty much all the ATP available in your body, and that depletes it, which means all of a sudden you lack an energy source in your cells. You're tired. I think that carries over from the comics, too, that she, after she burns her powers really fast, she gets tired. I don't think it's as much of a thing in recent comics or after the first couple of issues, but yeah.
Well, instead of making an indenture into these metal bookcases or whatever, or breaking through the wood, if they're wood, she actually opens them this time. So she's learning a little bit of moderation as she's using her powers.
Just got to do the Fonzie and just whack it in just the right place.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
I grew up on Happy Days reruns.
Well, hey, he was in, what was that box show that went into Netflix?
Arrested Development?
Yeah, he was in Arrested Development, too.
He was also in Parks and Rec.
Oh, yes. That's right. Lots of fun stuff. So, Haley, did we miss anything that you want to talk about?
We missed a set of parents that we haven't talked about yet.
Oh. Yep.
The Minorus?
Oh, yeah. The Tech Gurus.
Tina and Robert. I think Tina is portrayed as being definitely the coldest parent at this point. And we don't know now if that's something that it has always been her personality, or if it's after the death of her daughter, she kind of shut down. I think it's implied that it's a change in personality that came after her daughter's death.
Well, she seals her husband in the daughter's room. I think that's a little bit.
I think just good life advice. If somebody has a magic wand, don't make them angry.
Good public service announcement again from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., this time from Haley. All right, Michelle, what do you got left?
I'm trying to make sure I don't say anything that spoils it, because like I said, I've seen both seasons, and I think it's important to, first off, I want to point out that that room that the other person in, you know, the Wither, looks straight out of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yep.
I have to point that out. Mm-hmm. The first time I saw that, I'm like going, Stanley Kubrick? What?
It's an all-white room with just a hint of, like, metal furnishings, like, on the mirrors and stuff, and then the big black pod in the middle. So it's clearly calling attention to this big black pod, but you're absolutely right. It reminded me straight out of 2001. It's just an all-white room. The floor is white, ceiling's white, walls are white, beds are white, furniture's white, and you have a big black pod. Open the pod bay doors, Hal. Lauren, what do you got left?
I have two things, one quick, one slightly longer. One, I like this episode. And again, like I said, what they're doing with the parents, because the comics focus on the kids, and kids generally don't tend to think of the adults in their life, especially their parents, having a life outside them. And this is kind of showing, hey, here's what the life outside of the kids is like. And I thought that was really interesting, thought of from that perspective. The other thing is, you can really look at all these sets of adults as different, not phases of married relationships, but different ways that relationships can go. You have the couple who stays, you know, in a loving relationship with the Yorkses. You have the couple who is drifting apart through grief with the Minorus. You have the abusive couple with the Steins. You have the couple who's really more of like a business arrangement with the, honestly, I was thinking the Wilders. And then you have the one where somebody is really, there's a power imbalance there. And it's not quite abuse, but it's definitely a lot of secrecy and a power imbalance and kind of codependency with the deans.
See, I was thinking theirs was more of a business arrangement.
It's also a business arrangement. The Wilders and the Deans are both very business arrangement, like where there is a power imbalance in both, but the Wilders also have more of a loving relationship with that, whereas the ones with the Deans is much more dysfunctional. Where, you know, in this one, you see the Wilders going to bed together. And with the Deans, it's nothing but distrust. And then you have the dead parents.
Who we know nothing about at this point.
Who we know nothing about at this point. So it's just really interesting to look at it from also that point of view.
Well, now that Marvel is owned by Disney, you had to have dead parents somewhere in there.
I'm surprised it wasn't just the dead mother. That seems more their bag.
I mean, there is definitely more to that. We haven't explored that, but there's definitely more to the parents dying in the fire than we're led to believe. So we'll just see.
Again, they are alive in the comics.
All right. Well, next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the season one, episode 3 of Runaways, Destiny. No, not the video game Destiny, not the, we're talking about Destiny, and it's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. I would normally say any predictions, but I'm the only one that could give a prediction right now, and I'm just not going to do it. So that's it for Runaways for the week.
All right, news this week. We have a letter to the Marvel fans from Jeff Loeb.
On Marvel.com, in response to the Defenders being canceled, I'm going to read the whole thing. It's not terribly long. It had never been done before. 4 separate television series, each with different super talented showrunners, writers, directors, cast, and crew, coming out months apart, and then they would meet in a single event series all set in the heart of New York City. We called them the Defenders. And together we were thrilled by stories of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and even the Punisher joined in. They said it couldn't be done. But Marvel assembled amazing teams to write, produce, direct, edit, and score 13 seasons and 161 one-hour episodes. Take a moment and go online and look at the dazzling list of actors, writers, directors, and musicians who graced us with the very best of their craft. We loved each and every minute of it. And we did it all for you, the fans, who cheered for us around the world and made all the hard work worth it. So thank you. On behalf of everyone at Marvel Television, we couldn't be more proud or grateful to our audience. Our network partner may have decided they no longer want to continue telling the tales of these great characters, but you know Marvel better than that. As Matthew Murdock's dad once said, the measure of a man is not how he gets knocked to the mat, it's how he gets back up. To be continued. Jeff Loeb and all of us at Marvel Television.
So I read that, and the thing that jumped out at me right away was that he specifically was talking about the characters. Well, it's obvious to me that the characters are going to continue on because everybody in the Marvel stable continues on. He did not say actors or cast. So I think that's an important distinction here.
Which is interesting because Marvel has this, it's all connected universe. So I don't know how they relaunch those characters with new storylines and new actors without unraveling their own universe.
I think we can safely say that the Netflix Marvel shows were really never connected very well into the whole thing. It was always the New York event, things like that. We never had any true crossover. No Avengers showed up. None of the Defenders showed up in any of the Avengers stuff or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was, I think, S.H.I.E.L.D. was connected to the movies for a bit. But I think we can safely say that the Netflix stuff really wasn't.
Well, it wasn't explicitly connected, but it did take place in the same universe. We know that. They told us that. And they wanted us to believe that as the fans of the show. They wanted this to be a connected universe. So if they come in later and say, no, that wasn't connected, this new version we're making is what's actually connected, then I think that's going to alienate fans.
I'm wondering if they're going to see how The Offenders does, because it's supposed to be, you know, aimed at an older audience, and then see if maybe they do something animated and also aimed at an older audience on Disney streaming. Because animated stuff, it's cheaper to produce. You can get the voice actors. You can have that crossover without having to spend a whole lot. And Marvel has a whole bunch of really good, fairly sound-alike voice actors and who do the Avengers stuff for them.
Once again, it's characters. It's not the cast. So I don't know if we're going to see any of the cast back again. I don't think we are. I think it's over. And if they want to continue the stories, yeah, they can continue. They can even start the stories again. I think since this has been disassociated from the main MCU, for a lot of reasons, I just see it happening. Now, I don't know what the moratorium is. I don't know when they can use the characters again. But I think this was just Jeff coming out to a sector of the population that might have said, oh, you're canceling these and we'll never see these characters again. Well, no, of course you're going to see these characters again. I don't know how or why or when, but you're going to see them again. So I think that's the news here. I don't think it's anything more to delve into it whatsoever. If somebody picks up these shows, they could try to salvage the cast. But if I'm an actor on a show that has been canceled of the caliber of the actors of these shows, I'm looking for work that minute.
Well, yeah, you have to look for work. That's just the nature of the game. But you look at something like Hannibal. That show was canceled. But at the same time, that cast and crew and showrunner, Brian Fuller, still have a really good relationship. And they all said, hey, we want to come back and do something at some point. If you ever say, hey, we're going to do this, we are all going to jump at it and make our schedules work. And you've had stuff like the Sense8 movie that finished out everything. And you've had stuff that's been canceled and then came back. Arrested Development.
Firefly.
Like we mentioned earlier.
For a little bit. Yeah, but it's always for a short jaunt. And I could see, by the way, The Defenders 2, even if it's a movie.
Longmire was canceled off of AMC and then did two more seasons on Netflix. And they had pretty much the whole cast. Yeah. So I think it depends on how quickly they can jump it again. And I also think these shows lend themselves to taking a long break between seasons anyways, because they were already doing that. Mm-hmm. So if they need to wait an extra year for an actor to become available to do the story they want to do, I think they'd be willing to do that.
But I don't see them doing these five series again. I see...
Oh, no, I don't see them doing that, but I can see them doing, like, maybe a short team-up thing.
Yeah, do another season of Defenders or something like
that.
Or
just a movie of Defenders. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the limited-run TV series lend themselves better to the streaming platforms.
Like, if Marvel has luck with its, you know, like, 6 to 8 episodes or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, this is assuming that they want to do a streaming TV series. They might want to do a feature film.
It's a lot of characters for a feature film.
Yeah.
It's been done before.
I see them sticking to the streaming. I think there's a lot better financial trade-off there.
Well, then where do you go for the same rating? You go to Hulu? Do you go to Disney Plus? I mean, where do you go for something that's basically rated R?
Probably Hulu.
I would think so. I don't know. But since we're talking about Netflix cancellations, Eminem weighed in on the cancellation of The Punisher.
This was really entertaining. Eminem, at Eminem on Twitter, said, "Dear Netflix, regarding your cancellation of The Punisher, you are blowing it. Sincerely, Marshall," all in caps lock. And so many of the cast and crew have weighed in. Also, I did not realize that there was a comic meeting with Eminem and The Punisher. But yeah, just John Bernthal retweeted it and Deborah Ann Woll retweeted it. It's just so many of the cast.
I'd have to go back and take a look at the exact number of days, but the prognostication that I had anyway was 30 days after The Punisher released, it was going to get canceled. And it was close to that, almost on the day.
Yeah, you nailed it for The Punisher. You're way off on Jessica Jones because they canceled it at the same time.
Yes,
yeah.
I was going to bring that up too.
I guess they figured, yeah, I might as well just get it all done at once.
Right,
because everybody knows what's happening.
Yeah, if you're going to cancel everything else and leave Jessica Jones alone until it airs and then cancel it 30 days later, yeah, might as well. With two left, might as well take care of it.
We know what's happening.
Yeah.
Yep. But in happier news, we're starting to get early reviews for Captain Marvel, and they're very good, which is very good because that makes me very happy.
Yes. So despite the fact that Captain Marvel is getting review bombed because, gasp, it stars a woman, actual critics seem to be really loving it. The MarySue.com has this whole collection from critics and from sources. I can't read all of them because SP is going to have to beep out some stuff. But things like from @SabrinaHasNoR, facts, Brie Larson is an unstoppable force as Captain Marvel. @ColliderFrosty, realized something halfway through Captain Marvel. The de-aging technology being used has become so seamless that I forgot it was being used.
That will be a welcome sight after Aquaman, by the way, because that was not done all that great.
Yeah, it makes me happy. I just came from seeing Alita Battle Angel, and, you know, she has the huge eyes in that one, and it wasn't as distracting as I thought it would be. It's weird how far technology has come. But yes, the reviews sound fantastic. I'm so excited. It's not that far away. Guys, I'm getting really hyped.
I think one of my favorite early reviews is something like, Thanos better watch out.
Yes, I saw that one too. There's one at the bottom from at JD Scroggin that says, I'm glad to see people who've actually seen Captain Marvel are now giving real reactions. Now we can all stop giving the time of day to those other reviews.
I told somebody this weekend that I was more excited to see Captain Marvel than the next Avengers movie. And they had only read those reviews. My quotey fingers just went up for people that are just listening to this. And I was like, yeah, those are not real reviews. Those people have seen nothing. They're just trolling.
Those people are just mad that women are allowed outside the house.
Oh my God. Yep. That anything is being made for anybody but a straight white man.
This is how excited I am to see this movie. First of all, I'm going to see it opening night. And you guys know I have not seen even the big Avengers Marvel movies opening night. I don't. I wait until the weekend. So I'm going to see it opening night, first of all. Second of all, there is somebody in this house that is going in for surgery the next day. I'm going to make sure I see this movie before and after the surgery. That's how important this movie is going to be for me.
Brie Larson apparently just walked the red carpet at the Oscars and is looking fabulous, by the way.
Nice.
So, shocked face.
We're recording this as the red carpet for the Oscars is occurring in 2019. Yes.
So, continuing on the topic of awesome women in Marvel films, Black Widow will not apparently be rated R.
We discussed this a few weeks ago. There was a rumor that Black Widow could be the first rated R Marvel movie. Kevin Feige himself has disproven that, saying to comicbook.com, it was never going to be. Somebody writes, I hear it's R-rated, and then everybody writes it up. So, maybe not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
All right, and last bit of news, Cloak and Dagger Season 2 has an official trailer.
I still haven't seen Season 1.
Neither
have I. It's all on my DVR. I'm going to at some point.
I have
point.
A very long to-watch list.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the trailer before we started recording. It looks really good. I need to actually sit down and watch Season 1 because, again, first of all, I like these characters. And second of all, this trailer looks really good. And it introduces Mayhem, who is a Cloak and Dagger villain who was co-created by Bill Mantlow, who you might know from co-creating Rocket Raccoon, and who is in need of financial help because he had a brain injury a long time back and is currently in like a rest home. So you can Google it. You can look that up. It's a very sad story, but you could do with all the support that people are willing to give. But anyway, Mayhem is going to be in this season, and it has me very excited.
I can't wait to watch Cloak and Dagger as well, because I have not watched it. And by the way, we've often said that these ladies are available for Marvel storytelling, writing ideas, that sort of thing. Marvel, I do have a small request. In one of your properties, you have to put a character called Pike Trickleg that is absolutely distracting in the background, just like yes, Lauren's cat.
He is the star of the video cast. If you want to check out our videos at youtube.com/gunnageek.
If any of y'all remember from several months ago, there was like one episode where I was holding this little tiny kitten to me and trying to keep him warm. It's this little horrible thing behind me.
He's going to drop one of those speakers right now.
Yeah, he's awful. I posted a picture of him yesterday. If I'm not paying attention to him, he knocks down books and sits on them. So he was doing that earlier.
Oh, he's being nice now. Now he knows we're talking about him.
Oh, yeah, now that we're talking about
him.
Yeah. He's like, oh, my fans are watching.
Pike! Pike!
Yeah.
I think he's going to try to attack my face. All anyway.
Right. Let's move on to the feedback.
We got some feedback on Twitter. We heard from at Mr. Pericletes.
So we all know by now that Avengers Endgame is going to be probably about 3 hours long. And in response to us discussing this in a previous episode, at Mr. Pericletes said, regarding movie bathroom break management, first, go right before the previews. Second, drink extremely little for the first half of the movie. In Endgame's case, maybe 2/3. Then you should be able to drink without too much trouble. Fluid management is key.
Just not drink at all, like that half of the day.
If you go to a theater that serves alcohol, don't break the seal.
And then we heard from consultant Black Adam.
From at StarSaber_222, replying to Captain Marvel News and a screenshot they posted. Uh-oh, last time we saw a Quinjet in space, it didn't end too well.
Too soon.
Oh, too soon. And I love the reply from at StormLord96, RIP Lincoln.
And then we got a couple comments on Discord. First from Kent.
Yep. Kent told us, he linked us a thing. It's an article called Netflix's Cancellation of Its Marvel TV Shows is a Show of Force. And it's a really interesting article. There's been a whole bunch because they canceled a whole bunch of shows recently, not just the Marvel stuff. They also canceled Friends from College, I think it's called, the show with Keegan-Michael Key.
Yes. And Kobe Smulders.
Oh, yeah. Forgot she was in it. But they canceled a whole bunch of shows. And this article is discussing what it means that they've canceled particularly the Marvel shows. And talking about how in 2013, when the deals were first made for Marvel, it was a big deal that Netflix would be getting a piece of the MCU empire. And now that Netflix has all of its original shows, Netflix has built itself up to the point where specifically its TV and documentary divisions are a brand unto itself. So they have more power than they had 5 years ago. It's a really interesting article.
I enjoyed Altered Carbon. I don't know if any of you watched
it. Oh, yes. Simone Missick's going to be on the next season.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and they're planning on a season two. It was unexpected to me how good that series was. And I think that if Netflix is throwing money into good things like that, that they stand a chance of surviving with everybody else pulling their content out. They have to become original content producers like Lost in Space, like Altered Carbon. So it just needs to happen for these streaming services to succeed 5 years from now.
Yeah, Altered Carbon now has two Marvel heroes. It has the Falcon and it has Misty Knight.
And lastly, oh, you heard from me.
Yes, we did. Michelle has linked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Ming-Na Wen shares photo from season 7 return.
It's amazing to me that they're filming at this point. Season 6 won't air until May. We don't know how long the season is. It hasn't been explained how many episodes it is yet. But I'm thinking even if they go 20 episodes, so they get to the fall, and do they roll right into season 7?
I don't think season 6 will be that long. If it's a summer show, I'd imagine it's going to be much shorter. And then maybe bring season 7 in as like a mid-season replacement for something else.
Guys, did you know that Anthony Michael Hall is going to be in season 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes, I did, because I saw it somewhere the other day.
It's linked at the very end of the article, and I didn't know that.
I think this season of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be either 10 or 13 episodes.
It says 13 episodes. It says right here.
Yeah, I know there's a time jump. So they really don't have to worry about the whole Avengers Endgame and stuff because there's a time jump into season 6. But I think that's why they can just roll into production on season 7.
Well, we'll see how long the break is between the two seasons and if it is rolling right into the fall into a main season or if it's a mid-season replacement. Either way, I think we're fine because the fall shows, they get lambasted rating wise because the NFL is freaking throwing a game every single night. It's really causing havoc with the traditional
NFL viewership is way down though,
but it's still it breaks
just
apart
so much to watch.
Yeah, there's that too, because we were just talking about streaming shows like Lost in Space and Altered Carbon and The Runaways on Hulu.
My to watch list is so long.
Mm-hmm. Mine too. I was just looking at it today.
It's a miracle. I was able to, One Day at a Time season 3 came out. And
I've seen half of the first episode and I had to leave.
I binged the whole thing in one evening because I was feeling sick.
This is just a part of my streaming watch list. I just finished season 2 of Stranger Things. I have it on when I'm folding laundry and putting it away. And I finally got through season 2. And this is my own doing since I didn't watch it from the beginning, but 100. I'm watching that streaming. But here's the rest of the streaming shows. Voltron, Grand Tour, Westworld, the rest of the Marvel Netflix stuff. The Man in the High Castle, I've seen season 1. I have not seen season 2, and season 3 is coming out. Lost in Space, I have not seen that. I have not seen Jack Ryan. I have not seen season 2 or the finale of Timeless. Clone Wars, I know. I haven't seen that. Rick and Morty, I haven't seen that. Yes, got it. Please don't kill me on that. I haven't seen that. The Good Place, I've decided to start watching that. And I'm like three or four episodes in and that's it.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's shows like this that I haven't seen. So there's so much content out there. And meanwhile, because of Starling Tribune, I'm having to watch all these CW shows and it's taking up my time. So I have very limited time to actually watch streaming shows, thus watching Stranger Things while I'm folding laundry.
I have 841 episodes, equaling 19 days and 18 hours to watch. And that's not counting the shows I haven't started at all yet. That's shows that I've at least watched, you know, a few episodes of.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I don't add anything new unless somebody really glows about it or something else. Like Game of Thrones is ending. So because Game of Thrones is ending, I can replace it with something else. Also, because I'm getting into other things like gaming and such, and because I get into gaming, that's cutting into like TV stuff. I'm just having to make decisions. I'm actually suspending Netflix membership because I'm not really watching anything on it, because we're not covering the Netflix shows right now because I'm paying for Hulu so I can rewatch Runaways. I still have Amazon because my mother watches all those British detective shows that they have on Amazon Prime. If it is British and detective show, my mother is watching you. Okay. So if you have that one viewer, that's my mother.
And plus you get to see The Expanse when it comes out.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, I'll probably turn on Netflix when Lucifer comes out or something like that. But my rotating $10. Because also Netflix is going up.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm not watching it enough to warrant the price increase.
See, I watch something every night. It's just, I don't have the time to binge like I used to. I was joking. I work more from I'm working, now that I'm working from home and I'm doing the audiobook stuff, I'm busier than I ever was when I was actually working outside the home.
What do you mean? You can't listen to podcasts as you're recording an audiobook? What's wrong with that?
Only if you want me to start saying exactly what the podcast is saying while I'm... I don't think they would like that very much.
I've done that at work too. They'd be like, what? Oh, he's got his headphones on.
Because I'm also watching things like Critical Role, yes! Dice Camera Action. Well, Trapped in the Birdcage is on hiatus. You know, I'm watching stuff like that too and listening to a few podcasts. So yeah, there's a lot out there.
Guys, there's not enough time in the day.
It's one of those things like when we were kids, we're like, oh my goodness, there's not enough geeky stuff. And then we grew up and then it was like, and now we shall overfeed you.
Yeah, not to mention outdoors stuff, right? Like summer is coming around the corner. You can go outside, do stuff. I can fly drones. I was just flying my drone this weekend. It was fun. So yeah, lots of stuff going on. And oh, by the way, just so we can go out and do stuff like play Anthem or fly a drone or watch some streaming shows, we're just going to tell Hal to open the pod bay door. We're going to hop in the pod and we're going to get this one right out. First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody for not spoiling me so far on Runaways. I know, we've got two seasons in the bucket, but I have only seen two episodes. So thank you to our listeners. Thank you to my co-host for not spoiling Runaways. I'm just going to take it one week at a time and we'll go from there. And I can't wait to get through the rest of the season.
Thank you to everybody who gets a hold of us on Twitter, on Discord, wherever you are, who sends us links, who sends us just conversations. We love hearing from you. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you to Pike Tricklake for entertaining us during the recording of this podcast and entertaining anybody who happens to watch the YouTube stream of this episode.
I'd like to thank everybody who listens to us. As we just said, there's a lot of stuff out there, and for you to take time to listen or watch on YouTube or to listen to us through your podcatcher, whether you're folding laundry or something else, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you indeed. Until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
So Anthem's pretty cool, huh?
I am really digging it. So I played the demo weekend and I was like, it's fun, but I don't know. And having played more of it, I'm really liking the world building. I'm really loving the NPCs. I'm playing a storm javelin, so I have like super awesome elemental powers. So I'm enjoying just frying the out of everything. It's a lot of fun. Scott's been playing the Colossus and is just like wham, 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 just beating the out of everything. Basically, it's the Hulkbuster. The regular one, the Ranger, is kind of the all-purpose one, and it's the one that looks like the Iron Man suit.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I've finally gotten the hang of flying, which is a lot of fun. And the environments are pretty. There's a lot of lore in there that you can find from just like paying attention to the stuff. I'm digging it. Yeah, it really wants you to group up with people. I don't like that it doesn't have a chat because it wants you to use mics. And that historically is bad for women. But once a couple more of my friends are on, I can just kind of group up with them and be safe on the internet.
I haven't done a lot of gaming. I did buy this for Xbox One. So, and I installed it last night, which took, I don't know, an hour and a half.
Yeah. I don't know if Xbox and computer can play together.
Oh, you're on the PC?
Yeah. Guys, look up the Potoroo right now.
The Potoroo?
Potoroo.
Oh.
Say that again?
The Potoroo. Potoroo.
It's a marsupial. About house. The size of a rabbit. I've got something living underneath my front porch. I just noticed it dug in over the weekend.
Marsupial.
How on earth do you get into these holes, Lauren?
It was on my Facebook.
Oh, Facebook now, not yeah. Tumblr. Tumblr didn't kick you off, did they, Lauren?
Nope.
Okay.
I am still on Tumblr.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated by Pike Trickleg.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2013 through 2019.